Mr. Pittman, Reel 7. Now, what was your role as Chief Ordnance Artificer? Because you got promotion, I noticed you said
well,
that.
Well, yes, I was a chief. I wasn't actually in charge of the staff because I was made on board. I was made while I was at Plymouth, what they called Admiralty Made. I had the honour to be the youngest Chief Ordnance Artificer that ever been.
But you carried on working as
yes,
just in
I charge did,
of
yeah,
Petrie.
Yeah.
Did you have any extra responsibilities?
No, no. Although the ordnance officer wanted to get rid of the other chief and let me be chief, but they had been classmates at the Fist Guard apparently, and he didn't like us. The chief, anyway, was taking him for a trot sometimes, I think.
So what's the next thing you remember, moving into 1944?
Well, moving to 1944, we operated out of Plymouth for a bit.
What sort of things?
Only patrolling and that sort of thing.
Whereabouts?
Off the coast of France and whatnot. And then we went up to, eventually went up to Belfast. We were in Belfast for some time.
And where were you, what were you doing there?
Well, we were getting ready for the invasion. And then eventually we came down to Plymouth again with the invasion fleet. And in June, of course, we went into the invasion.
Now, what do you remember of that?
Well, we were sent into Omaha Beach with the Yanks. What happened was the Yanks had this idea that if you saturated an area with so many shells, the area was neutralised. But unfortunately, they forgot to inform the Germans. And the Germans didn't know this rule. So when they opened the bombardment, the Germans withdrew all the mobile 88mm batteries, knowing that the bombardment would have to lift to allow them their troops to land. Of course, when this happened, the bombardment started again because the Germans moved the batteries back. They massacred and pinned down the troops on Omaha Beach. And we were put in because the one thing the Yanks didn't practice was pinpoint firing. And we were put in to knock out the batteries.
So when did you arrive? You weren't there when they first landed. You were sent there later in the day.
I forget now whether we actually were there or not. I don't recall.
And what do you remember of the pin? Why were you, the pinpoint bombardment? It was just the accuracy.
Yes, what happened was we had an aircraft up that spotted and told us where our fall of shot was. And we were a crack gunnery ship. And we knocked out the batteries. And I remember the American pilot of the spotting plane said, "My Christ, I've never seen shooting like this before."
What was the scene like off the beach? I mean, was it,
you didn't see very much at all.
You were in your turret.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we were quite a way out. And then eventually we went down and bombarded Cherbourg.
What do you remember of that?
Well, we got hit. the director got hit.
By?
Their guns, yeah. And so from there, we were sent back to Newcastle to pay off.
Was it bad damage that had been done? I mean,
yeah, it's jammed the director, yeah.
So you paid off at
Newcastle.
What was the date of that?
Oh, let's see. Do you know, I can't remember now. Would have been 1944.
And what happened then? Well, I mean, were you sorry to leave there, Glasgow? You'd been on there a long time.
Yeah, it was quite a happy ship.
What do you mean by happy ship?
Well, they were very nice chaps on board, yeah. And the ordnance officer was quite a nice chap.
You'd enjoyed your time on the ship?
Yeah. I was recommended for CW candidate, which meant direct promotion. But from there, we were sent on leave, and I decided to give up the idea of direct promotion because I thought, well, now I'm married, I don't want to serve more than 12 years, you know.
So what was your next posting then?
Well, I was sent down to Pompey then and did a Chief IE's course at Whale Island.
Now, what do you remember of that?
Oh, it was only going round all the guns and being taught again what you already knew.
Was there anything new coming along?
Yes, transmissions were changing, bank slip transmission, which was...
What, could you explain that?
Yes, it was two magnetic fields, where one transmitted against the other, moved against the other, set up a current, and transmitted the... It was much more accurate than the old tricks. It worked on AC and it was much more direct, accurate than the old direct action. Direct current. Pointers to the guns. The indicators, sorry, I forgot to mention that. It worked on a 50-volt, 50-cycle.
So this was a new transmission system for the director system?
Yeah.
Anything else new?
Not really.
What was your next posting in Europe?
Oh, my next posting was, I was sent out to Mombasa to take charge of the gun-making store in Kilindini Dockyard. Dockyard was manned by dockyard mates wearing uniform. They were known as SRR ratings.
Now, when were you sent there? Do you know what date, roughly?
It must have been 46 I came back from Mombasa.
Right, so you were sent out in 45, before B-Day.
That's right, yes, sorry, I beg your pardon.
Now, you went out, and when you got there, there was not much to do. So, this not a lot to report about Kilindini. What was your sort of routine there?
Well, we worked tropical routine, that is, we worked from 6 o'clock in the morning to noon, then we didn't work in the afternoon. Because it was what they call tropical routine.
And what did you have to work on?
Well, we were supposed to work on ships. I was in charge of the gun mounting store, and I had Italian corporators, SRR ratings, and blacks. And now that's another thing I didn't like about Mombasa. You could have an African, an Asian, and a European all doing the same job. The European got more money than the Asian, and the Asian got more money than the African. And also I don't speak Swahili. But unfortunately I was taught by the army on the passage out there, because it was an army trooper. And unfortunately they taught me upcountry Swahili instead of coast Swahili, which is slightly different. And I was telling me Sarang one day, I wanted him to go to a ship that had come in and lift a gun mounting. Now, in Swahili, the same word can have different meanings. The word uma, for instance, it can mean to lift, it can mean a fork. In coast Swahili, but in upcountry Swahili, in upcountry Swahili, but in coast Swahili, it can also mean to bear a child. So apparently when I told him to lift this gun mounting, he laughed because I told him he was with a child.
But it was quite a... how did you enjoy it? I mean, was it a nice period?
Well, we spent most of our time making rabbits, as a matter of fact. The Italian corporators were pretty good. One made my wife a jewel box and whatnot. And they were very clever with the hands of the Italians.
Now you came back in 46?
Yeah, sorry.
And what happened then?
Oh, I'll tell you one instance that happened in Mombasa.
Okay.
There was a snake come into the gun mounting workshop, and one of the Italians jumped on it and held its head behind his sandaled foot and cut his head off with a pair of tin snips. When I told him that was a black mamba, he fainted, because a black mamba that bites you got half an hour. And the best you can hope for is put a tourniquet around the limb that's bitten and lose the limb. They're deadly.
Did your wife come out with you, or did she
stay? No. We didn't do much at all. We had all this equipment there and nothing to do with it. And so eventually we were paid off and I was sent home.
What happened then?
Well, then in 1947, I joined HMS Liverpool and went to the Mediterranean as chief of the Liverpool.
What type of ship was HMS Liverpool? It was a cruiser.
She again was a 6-inch cruiser. Same as Glasgow.
And what you were the chief OA this time?
I was the chief OA.
And what did that involve then?
Taking charge of staff and being in charge of the whole staff. Dishing out work and that sort of thing.
But you weren't not hands-on anymore?
No.
Organising and detailing?
Yeah, that's right, yes. You're in charge. Rather like a fleet chief, no. And that's where I learnt one thing. When I became before I became an officer, that was that there's only one person can run a staff. While the chief runs it, or the officer runs it, and it's best for the chief to run it, the officer to run the chief. Because otherwise they get confused. If you tell him to do one thing, he goes around and tells him to do something else. Anyway, we were out there in 1947, and Lord Louis joined, CS-10. And he was a great showman.
So he joined what?
The Liverpool was his flagship, as CS-10, Cruiser Squadron, 10th Squadron. And
what did you think of him?
Well, he was what we used to call in the service an OD's comedian.
What's that mean?
Show off. For instance, there's something I never quite understood, and I don't know if I've told you this story already. I could never understand why the Prince of Wales and Repulse were sent to the Far East without an aircraft carrier. And I happened to mention this one day to an old chief yeoman I knew. He said, but they were supposed to have air cover. They're supposed to have the Indomitable. He said, but unfortunately, the silly bloody captain ran out ashore in Bermuda. And he said, you'll never guess the name of that captain. It rolls off your tongue. I said, not Louis. He said, yes, Louis. He said, I know, because I was on duty the night the signal came into the Admiralty. And he said, he was dismissed his ship, and Winston Churchill swore he'd never have another sea command for the remainder of the war. And he never did. Anyway, when he came to the OAs, he said, who's the chief of all the chiefs? And I said, and they said it was me. And he was quite a nice sort of man to talk to. Always remember, he once gave me his propelling pencil to look at because it wouldn't fire. And when we took it down to the workshop and had a look at it, it was a gold, well, it appeared to be gold. It said, presented to the Viceroy by the people of Delhi. But when we examined it, it was a .22 revolver. When you turned the cap, it opened the breech. And when you dropped a bullet in it and closed the cap, you then pressed the clip and it fired, or should have done. The sear spring had gone, so we had to make a new one. But also, when we were in Athens, he introduced us to every member of the Greek royal family. But to confirm that story about the Indomitable, I read the book on the Indomitable, and it mentions a ship running aground in Bermuda. It mentions the captain leaving, but doesn't mention his name, and it mentions the name of the new captain joining.
Now, anything happened while you were in the Mediterranean, or was it obviously you're not in war, so it's quite
no,
a period.
Just cruising around and the normal stuff.
Had you thought at that point of taking your commission?
Yes, sorry, I forgot to mention, when I came home from Mombasa, I decided that perhaps it was best to make a career in the Navy after all. So I decided to go in for SD rank.
For what rank?
Special duties rank, which was then known as a warrant officer, by the way, beg your pardon. A warrant officer then wore a quarter an inch shoulder, a full officer's uniform, and was entitled to the salute, but they had their own mess on the ship. And their own cabin.
And how did you go about getting that?
Well, you had to take an exam. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention, while I was away long, I took the exam. For that, you had to get an average of 80%, but not less than 75% in any one subject. So it was quite a stiff exam. Anyway, with the war ended, there was very little promotion. So I didn't actually get promoted until 1949.
To warrant officer?
Yeah.
Were you still on the Liverpool then?
No, I was brought home from Liverpool. That was in May 49.
And at that point you were promoted?
Yeah.
And what you so you just called warrant officer or what?
I was known as warrant ordnance officer.
And what happened next? If you could just review the rest of your career for us, that would be interesting for us, yeah.
All right. Well then, having come home from the Liverpool, I did 6 months on my own again, warrant officer's course. Also, we had to attend a dinner in the naval barracks, get your full kitted out with your mess kit and all that sort of thing. And then in 49, having passed out my course, I was drafted to the Bermuda. The 3rd Destroyer Squadron in the Mediterranean as Ordnance Officer of the 3rd Destroyer Squadron.
And what did that entail?
Well, that was there were 4 battle class destroyers, Saints, Armada, Gravelines, was it Saints? And, Saints, Armada, Gravelines.
Doesn't matter.
Can't think of the 4.
So, what was your duties as ordnance officer?
Well, I was responsible to the squadron engineer, who was a commander, for the upkeep of all the armament on the 4 ships.
Was there any particular problems? Or
they had problems with one of the, well, I suppose you'd call it a computer, it was a mechanical computer. And I was able to solve that one. And when they had trouble with a turret where it kept shearing something, I was able to solve that one. But yes, that was it.
So that was 1949. And how long were you with them? In the Mediterranean until?
Well, I wasn't in the Mediterranean long because I was when I had a breakdown.
And what happened then?
Well, I was in Beaky Hospital for a bit. On phenobarbital. And I thought I was going to be invalided. Because apparently this was what was known in the First World War as shell shock. And, but the psychiatrist sent for my wife, not my present wife, but my other one, she died. He said that you had direct orders from the Admiralty on no account was I to be invalided. I was to be sent home. I was to be slowed down, but not too much. So she said, what do you mean? Why are they doing this? She said, well, I hope you don't think I'm boasting, but I'm telling you actually what she told me. He said, your husband is considered to be somewhat of a genius, and they don't want to lose him. He's made so many modifications to him. They don't want to lose him. So I was sent home, and I was on what they called 7R for about 6 months.
Into 1950 then?
Yeah. And eventually the psychiatrist said to me, you better go learn to live with this, because you can't get promoted all the time you're on the 7R. And then I next was sent out to the... I did a time at Exonet next. That's right. I've got to check that now. I was then sent to HMS Exonet on the teaching staff. And I was there from...
That's the gunnery school, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gunnery school at Whale Island. And I was there from... I'll check the dates now.
It doesn't matter much about the dates. You just generally sketch in the rest of your career. That's probably the best. Just how you got promoted is... Because you got promoted right up to command, lieutenant command.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
How did...
Well, then, in April... 1952, I was excellent teaching. Then I was sent out to... Bermuda. The 6-inch cruiser Bermuda. And that was in March 52, right? Okay. I served as the ordnance officer on there. And Bermuda, we again were in the Mediterranean. The rest of the fleet came home for the celebrations. We stayed out there and cruised around, going to Cyprus and the French ports and whatnot, the French North African ports. And we used to go ashore and to French Foreign Legion messes and that sort of thing. It was just a sort of social thing. We also went to South France. And whilst I was serving on Bermuda, I had a letter from my wife's doctor saying that she was ill with cancer and her future was very uncertain. So I went and saw my captain. He said we were just about winning every firing competition there was, and I'd also put a number of improvements into the computer.
What kind of improvements?
Well, the HACS could only deal with aircraft doing 250 knots. By a simple modification, I upgraded it to do 500 knots.
What was that? What's HACS stand for, sorry?
High Angle Control System.
And what was your improvement to it?
I put a differential in there to multiply it up. And also, I did away with a lot of, using mag slip transmitters, I did away with a lot of the operators, because I was able to transmit from places back to the other one without using operators automatically.
Would these modifications, I mean, once they were done on the Bermuda, would they be passed on to other ships?
Oh, yes. The captain said to me, I'd be very pleased when you... give me your drawings, those modifications, and forward them to Admiralty. So I said, well, I didn't. He said, really necessary. He said, I should be very pleased to get them when you're ready. Well, of course, I suppose it's a feather in their cap as well.
And anyway, what happened about next, about your wife?
Well, I went and saw the captain. He said, well, if you stay with me to the end of the commission, he said, I'll make sure you get a 3-year appointment in Portsmouth. He said, cancer's a long-term thing. So I wrote back to the doctor and she said, no, she said, you must come home immediately. She said, your wife is only 31 and cancer spreads very rapidly in a young person. Anyway, I came home.
What year was that?
That would have been 19...
Still in 52 or 53?
No, that would have been 54. I came home and the doctor sent for me and said, the only people that know your wife has cancer at the moment are the consultant, myself and you. Is there any chance you can get to know from anyone else? I said, no. She said, whatever you do, don't tell them. So I was with my wife for 6 months. Knowing she had cancer, but I couldn't sort of tell anyone. And eventually she became very ill, and they took her into St Mary's Hospital, Portsmouth, because they said if they took the ovaries away, it often arrested the cancer. But unfortunately, she was too ill, and they couldn't. So that was that.
And what was your next posting?
The next posting was to the Reserve Fleet in 1956.
What as?
Ordnance officer.
For the whole of the Reserve Fleet?
Yes, the whole of the Reserve Fleet.
And where was that based at?
Portsmouth. Mm.
And that was from when to when?
Well, that was to... 57.
So 1950
to February 1957. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. For some time after the wife, I was on my own again. They kept me home for some time because I had two daughters.
So from 1956 to 57, you were ordnance officer of the Reserve Fleet. What did that entail?
Well, going around the Reserve Fleet and making sure the maintenance packaging... Oh, I was in charge of the packaging. That was where the gun maintenance were cocooned with silica gel inside to stop them corroding.
Could you explain a bit more about that? That's not something we've heard about.
Well, they used to put a net over the gun mounting to cover it, and then they used to spray it with a sort of plastic coating. And just put a net over the whole thing. But inside you used to put packets of silica gel, which is a drying agent to stop humidity.
And which ships were you doing this on? Do you remember any in particular?
Well, there were so many there. There were dozens of them. That's for dozens of them.
Were these the big ships or all
sorts? There were big ships and small ships. There was a mixture. And it was during that time I got married again.
What year was that?
That would have been, actually it was 1955, it was only a year. I met my present wife who had she was divorced with two children, and I had two children, so I thought, make a team, but we thought we'd never have any children of our own.